So with me, the wonderful barrister Teresa Lowe. I'd want nobody better to represent me than Teresa Lowe. And if I wanted to learn how to present a Saturday morning radio show, I'd go to Teresa Lowe Communications.
You're
for
so
training.
Kind.
Yeah. And then, of course, if I ever get sick, I expect the Florence Nightingale of radio, Dr. Lara Dungan. She'll be on later on News Talk's Future Proof. There's a plan to have her on Saturday Sport also, so she can spend her entire day here. Welcome to you both.
Thank
it's
you,
lovely
George.
To
How
be
are
here,
you?
George.
Good morning.
Well, the thing is that...
Now that you asked him, how is he?
I know.
The thing is, Valentine's Day was on Wednesday.
Yeah. Mm. Well, no, was it Tuesday?
Wednesday. It was Wednesday, and it was Ash Wednesday.
Exactly.
Oh,
and the first time in 73 years that it fell on, that Valentine's Day actually fell on Ash Wednesday.
Well, I yeah. think it created kind of a major problem, because if you took Ash Wednesday seriously...
You can't drink, can you? Is that
no,
a thing?
No, drink is not doing it.
Oh, right.
You can't eat.
I'm Protestant, I have a bog.
You can't have meat. Well, the Lenten practices in the old days, I mean, you couldn't have anything, and you couldn't have alcohol or meat or dairy product.
Which is why the eggs
became popular. No, actually for the whole of Lent.
No,
but Ash Wednesday,
Teresa,
is the start of Lent.
Well, there's only one person.
But it was on Valentine's Day.
There's only one person in this room who knows about Lenten practices, and it's me.
I have an idea myself.
No, the thing is,
what did you eat?
It was very simple. For the entire duration of Lent, you were allowed one meal and two collations.
Yes.
Now,
for 40 days, you'd be pretty hungry after one meal.
Right. So how my mother interpreted that, a collation, and like most people, and at that time, a collation was bread without butter or marmalade or anything else. So
yes,
it'd just be a piece of bread.
Simple, yeah.
Maybe toasted. And black tea.
Lovely.
No milk, no sugar.
Sounds like a good hangover cure, maybe.
That was a collation. And you had two of them, and then you had
one meal.
A meal.
And that was the entirety of
Lent.
Lent.
Right?
Yes,
now, Ash Wednesday was obviously crucial because you went to get ashes on your forehead.
Yes.
And, you know, it was to start Lent. But the problem is, for me, on Wednesday, you know, because obviously I'd be taking some fabulous looking dame out on thing, it falls on Ash Wednesday.
Mm. Yeah.
It must have been very difficult for a lot of young
men to take their girls out on Wednesday. I was out with my other half. And,
but no married couple celebrate Valentine's
Day. Well, we managed to get through it without any alcohol, and there was beef on offer. This was a lovely charity do, and
you
I just
declined?
Asked, could we have? Would you have any fish? And they had absolutely beautiful hake, so it was lovely.
I think that's great.
Well, I was working nights for the entire week and my boyfriend's in India. So mine was a terrible Valentine's Day and a terrible Ash Wednesday. And I didn't get any pancakes.
No, but I think the thing for the prods, right? Like the prods always had a relaxed view about things like that. So when us Catholics for 40 days were beating ourselves, like I used to see like they were eating and drinking and having a great time.
That's what we do.
But George... Do you know, many, many years ago, I don't know if you ever remember, you might be a bit young to remember Live at Three, the fantastic Thelma Mansfield presented this programme with Derek Davis. And when I started off in RTÉ as a continuity announcer, I got an opportunity to stand in for her 1 week. And that week happened to be the beginning of Lent.
Yeah.
And I was interviewing a priest. And I remember him telling me that when people observed Lent in the old days, there was very little incidence of cirrhosis of the liver because people got a break of 46. I think it's 46 days. Lent actually is 46 days, including the Sundays. Where you don't have to observe Lent, apparently, on the Sundays.
Of course you do.
No, of course you do. I'm going to argue with you on this.
Also,
you can do what you like.
No, but
on
also
Sundays.
During Lent, there was
any
no,
day ending in a Y.
There were no dances.
Oh.
There were no all dance halls shut down. You know, the ball.
Am I the only one that thinks that this whole Lent thing sounds completely grim? It's just horrible.
Grim.
What's the point? I mean, I get giving up certain
things. Now,
isn't
it, though? I mean, there are a lot of people that wouldn't even be particularly religious who would do something during Lent. They
might, but they do it to diet or they give
up
sweets.
They're doing it to develop themselves.
No, this was grim.
Yeah.
And then at the end of Lent, Spy Wednesday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and
Spy
Holy
Wednesday. That sounds was it awesome.
Maundy Thursday?
Maundy Thursday in Britain.
Oh, was it?
Because the monarch gave out money to poor people on Maundy Thursday.
Right.
But we were Spy Wednesday. Why was it Spy Wednesday?
That sounds amazing.
Because
I love it.
Judas said to the bad guys, they didn't know how to recognize Jesus. And Judas said, the person I kiss on the cheek, it is he, right?
And who's the spy, Judas? Oh, okay.
You know that.
Yeah, no, totally, absolutely.
A traitor, I suppose, 100%. Spy is the same kind of
so
thing.
So Spy Wednesday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, all the cinemas were shut.
For the whole time?
For those 4 days. Oh. Shut, closed.
So you really appreciated everything when it flooded back after.
And they reopened on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Surely that's supposed to be the holiest of all of them, or the Monday or something. I'm not even sure.
I know,
but, idea.
But the thing about the eggs, dairy products, and some of the Orthodox religions now, they'll observe that now. You can't have dairy products, you can't have eggs, you can't have milk and all that kind of thing. So, but dairy stuff would always go off anyway, but eggs tended to last. So when Lent was over, it was a big thrill to have an egg.
Oh.
It was a thrill.
And then, is that why we have Easter
commercialization
eggs?
Got involved then, and then you had chocolate eggs. And
although you're not supposed to call them Easter eggs anymore. That's the new thing. Well, Cadbury's are taking the word Easter apparently off all the eggs so that they could be secular. So
what are
just,
they calling them?
I think just chocolate eggs. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Right. But
I'm delighted you told me that.
It was St. Paul. I think it was St.
I'm longing for one now.
I think it was St. Paul, but it could have been Donald Trump, but it was one or the other.
Same
said,
thing.
Without Easter, there would be no Christianity. Easter is more important than Christmas Day or any of those kind of things, because without the resurrection,
this is the thing, and I suppose the grimness, and it's a good word, the grimness of certainly the way Lenten practices were in the old days.
Oh yeah.
Then when Easter came, it was all worthwhile.
Well, 73 years ago, Teresa, this is the point. Surely,
calendar.
73 years ago, Valentine's Day would have been a drag, wouldn't it?
It would. But you know, again, I'll come back to the conversation I had with that priest so many years ago, where he said that people were very well because they gave their livers a break. Now, it was for religious reasons, but the net effect was that they were
well,
a lot
that
healthier,
one, yeah. I can
know?
Get behind that. I can definitely get behind not drinking for 40 days.
And where
or
are you on a piece of toast with a butter or marmalade and black
if
tea?
I'm hungover, yes. If I'm not hungover, I will have 8 meals a day if I want to. Lent can be stuffed, I'm afraid. I'm sorry, but I think I just grew up in a different generation.
We used to save sweets. I used to put sweets under my bed in a tin box, and you were allowed to take them out on Patrick's Day and take a few things.
Oh yeah, Patrick's Day is a Lent break.
There was
it?
Something lovely about I wouldn't have even considered as a child that I was depriving myself, but you so looked forward and so appreciated when you were allowed to have it.
Well,
so I don't know if children still do that now. But
the only thing is,
not a bad idea.
It would totally ruin the Six Nations, though, because if you can't drink for the Six Nations, that's pretty grim as well.
When I go to Ireland. I go to England at 19. I emigrate, right? Because I can't afford to go to university, so I go to earn money, right?
Yeah.
Now, you got to remember, this is 1960. I'm 19 years of age, Catholic, virgin, believer, right? So my first Ash Wednesday, I go to church, get ashes, go to work, and everybody is saying, do you know there's dirt on your face?
You know you got something on your head. But in fairness, I arrived into the hospital, you know, 33 years of age, having seen it for 33 years.
Yeah.
And I still walked around being like, Eva, you've something there on your... Oh, yeah, no, Ash Wednesday. Like, you don't... It just looks weird
to me. I saw an awful lot of people with ash yesterday.
Oh, loads of people. The hospital was shockers with people with ash on their head.
It's funny, you know, when I thought that we'd be talking about... I thought we might be talking about Lent here today. I kind of looked into it and I thought... And I found out that it is really about, it's supposed to be about deprivation, but it's supposed to be about getting kind of closer to God, really. And the business of the ashes, it's to remind you of your mortality and that we're all going back to, I mean, I know it's grim again. We come from dust and we will return to
dust. No, actually, do you know what?
It reminds us of
I think
know,
that's really important
reality,
because I think
I
that... The fact is, we do all die. And I think when you work in a hospital, you become very aware of that. And I'm on oncology at the moment. So you become very, very aware of that. And I think that people take for granted their health, and they think that health is a right rather than a privilege. And I think that if people could, for a certain amount of time in the year, realize that we're all going to die, so look after what you have and stop taking it for granted and stop assuming that it's your God-given right and look after it, I think maybe that's not a bad thing for a period of time
every year. So it could be a time of reflection for even a prod like yourself.
Even a dirty rotten prod like myself.
Well, I think the thing more about Lent, strip it of its religious thing for just a moment. One of the things we know about the world is there is less and less people want instant gratification, right? So in a world of instant gratification, the idea that you would deny yourself gratification for 40 odd days, I would have thought it's quite nice.
I suppose it would teach someone a lesson. I think it depends what you're motivated by or why you're doing it. If you're doing it for the right reasons and you can reflect and you can realize that maybe some of the instant gratifications are actually genuinely really bad for us, the addictions that we have in this day and age, I think actually it could be good. I'm not a religious person, so I don't have, you know, the religious element to it doesn't matter to me. But I think maybe a bit of self-reflection.
It's fasting, though, and fasting can be very good for you, and fasting can be common to so many religions as well.
Jane Fonda thought fasting was a great idea.
Fasting increases your longevity. There's a lot of evidence to show. Well, it's controversial, but there's a lot of evidence to show that if you give mice only the exact amount of calories they need to survive, they live a huge amount longer. Now, it is controversial, but the people believe that fasting does increase your longevity.
And it probably improves your mental health.
Now,
when you see these other religions like Hinduism, Buddhism, the Jewish, they all observe, they all fast as well. It's
Judaism particularly, all of that is based on health reasons. So they don't eat shellfish because obviously 1,000 years ago or whatever, shellfish were dangerous. So a lot of that kind of stuff is also based on health. But I do want to get on a topic that's very close to my heart. Well, what about Sister Bernadette Moreau, Teresa?
I actually think this is the most fantastic story.
I'm glad.
I was thrilled reading it earlier today. Came across it on social media. And what it is, it's a case of a French nun who's recovered from literally decades of agony, a back problem that prevents her from walking normally. And she was in all sorts of harnesses and all sorts of gear and stuff. And it's been recognised as the 70th miracle of Lourdes. Now, there have been thousands and thousands of potential and possible miracles that have been presented to the medical council and to all sorts of people, and they've all been rejected. There are literally only 70, and she is the 70th. and she went to Lourdes. She, like so many people, looking for a cure. Some people get a peace of mind. Some people know that they'll never be physically cured. But this lady got a physical cure, and she said she heard a voice saying, remove the apparatus, remove whatever she was, you know, I suppose it's, what is it, George?
Kind of a harness sort of a thing.
Is it a harness? Yeah. So she said, in an act of faith, I took it off. I thought of the words of Jesus in the gospel when he said, pick up your mat and walk. And to my great surprise, when I took away the splints and the girdle and all of that, my foot was straightened out and I could move without feeling any pain. She walked 5 kilometres the next day. She was crying for ages, just so overwhelmed, herself and her sister, with this. And she experienced relaxation and heat in her body and all of that. But she's had extensive examinations by doctors, 3 meetings of church figures in Lourdes. The medical committee in the town have confirmed that her recovery cannot be explained scientifically.
Now, just stop there, Teresa.
Yeah.
Now.
And we'll hand over to the doctor.
Yeah. On two fronts here, you're going to get negative. A, a prod, and B, a doctor.
She's a scientist.
Yeah, so
She's a scientist.
Scientists do not believe in miracles, isn't that so?
Well, I don't believe in miracles. I can't speak for every single scientist. I know a lot of scientists who are also quite religious.
Tell me why you think this nun is talking a whole load of baloney.
I never said that.
She hasn't said that.
I didn't say she's talking baloney. And I believe that she used to have a condition and now she doesn't, because that's very difficult to lie to everyone like that. And I don't think that...
So you believe she had a condition for decades?
Yeah.
She went to Lourdes and she doesn't have the condition anymore, but you don't believe in miracles?
I believe in coincidences, very much so. I believe hugely in coincidences. Look, I'm so sorry, but the power of God, in my mind, absolutely did not fix this woman. I don't know what fixed
her.
I don't
know that.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I can't ever know.
You're all about evidence. And, yeah. And the medical evidence here is that there is no scientific explanation for her recovery.
Oh, there has
now
to be.
You have
there
to.
Has to be. No, like, and, I don't and, buy that.
And
I don't
Teresa,
buy it.
Doctors have said this. No. And I'm into evidence too.
Yeah.
In another
But you can't
area,
prove a lack of evidence. There's no such thing. You can't
stop,
say.
Stop. Just
I
for
think
a second.
A woman who, since the age of 27, has been crippled with this condition
yeah.
and who now is walking. I wouldn't be able to walk 1 kilometre.
But what if she'd
She's
gone to New York to Times Square
kilometers.
And all of a sudden she'd, you know, moved
because
in whatever way it was?
Because if she went to Times Square, it wouldn't happen. That's the whole point. She went to Lourdes. Of the three people in this studio, how many have been to Lourdes?
I would love to go. I haven't been and
well,
I will go. I
first of all, when you go there, it is, as a non-believer or otherwise, it is the most extraordinary experience. Like the first flights that Aer Lingus took, I think, other than Britain, were to Lourdes because so many Irish
Makes
people
sense.
Wanted to go to Lourdes. So
yeah.
the charter flights to go. And these planes would be full of people dying, right? The plane was half full of people dying and half full of their carers. And I've been on that plane. Like you can imagine then there's 30 rugby players, there's 30 drunks on it as well. We're going down to play rugby. And these people believe.
Yeah.
They believe. And okay, nothing happens for them and that's the way it is. God didn't help them. But they believe. And then you go there and you see these pictures and you see all the crutches left there by the grotto and everything. And you see all these people being pushed on beds and wheelchairs and everything. I tell you. It is extraordinary.
But belief is a powerful thing, and it is proven that the placebo effect is real. It is proven that if you think you are going to get better, it changes your outcome. And that is a proven medical fact, that the power of this kind of positive thinking, which a lot of sick people don't have because they feel like they've lost hope. But I also think false hope is an extremely dangerous thing. I see a lot of people in the hospital who are not spoken frankly to, who refuse to believe a diagnosis and who don't get their affairs in order. They don't do the things they need to do.
False hope is wrong.
False hope is dangerous as well.
Hope
is important.
It's so difficult to get past this standard in Lourdes. It's so difficult. I mean, you know, St. Bernadette, the original visionary, was almost tortured by the civil authorities to backtrack on what she, a little 14-year-old, maintained that she saw. And she was a very ignorant young girl and very uneducated, but she stuck to her guns. So there was so much pressure. It is so difficult to get a miracle accepted.
All right. But here's what I would say, though, to Lara. Forget God, right?
Done.
Right. Forget Lourdes, per se, right? Imagine if we could bring to people who are ill. Because the doctor has said that if people believe enough, then the placebo effect. Maybe the medical profession is underestimating the placebo effect.
I don't think so.
And
we
maybe,
know about it.
Maybe the medical profession, instead of coming in their blue scrubs and saying you're gone, you have 6 weeks to go. If they sort of came in and said, take up your mat and walk and whatever, maybe more people would. Because I think you do, when you go into a hospital, think you're going to die.
But George, the thing is,
and you need to
if
be
a huge group of people who all believe in the same way and who are all going to celebrate something, it's a feeling that I'd say you probably can't equal anywhere else. That's the kind of feeling that helps people to believe. And in some cases, rare cases, those sort of feelings do help people to recover from diseases. I don't think that if you walk into a hospital and someone says, pick up your mat and walk out the feckin' door, it's going to help anyone. Like, there's plenty of people out there to do that. That's what we've got priests for. I don't think that there's a point in doctors doing that too.
I think she was unusual, though, in that she herself said, and it's probably a very private thing, it's probably a very difficult thing to admit, but she heard a voice telling her to take everything off.
Well, she went into hospital, that'd be schizophrenia. Need doctors for a certain reason too.
If you have a condition going on for decades and then you have the doctor saying, we can't explain this, but she's perfectly normal now, you have to accept that finding. And you can say that it's placebo, But could you, Lara, and given that you have been raised in some in probably a very good faith and a very deep faith and but you say you're a Protestant, but could you accept that there could be a higher power, that something could be at work here?
Teresa.
Positive thinking.
Teresa. We're nearly gone because we have to grow to gross domestic violence. The problem with Lara Dungan is she is not for turning.
I don't know
a former
that's completely
president.
Untrue. That's completely. No, if you gave me evidence that God had fixed her, I would believe it. But at the moment,
God did fix her.
That would be hard to.
Fair enough. But I also appreciate your belief and I respect you for it, George. But it's not mine.
But what a wonderful thing for her doctor to hear that she
I know it's lovely
cured,
for this
it?
Elderly Amazing. Nun to be able to walk. Yeah, that is great.
I saw a picture of her and she looks just absolutely deliriously happy. Wonderful.
If I could get somebody to put hair on my head, I would be deliriously happy.
But you have to pay for it.
Yeah. I prefer it.
You've already got your little diamante glasses, George, so I don't know if you need the hair. You're already gone too far.
We have Teresa Lowe and Lara Dungan back every week on matters of faith and morals and anything else that takes our fancy. Thanks, ladies.